Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 23rd, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, Bill's Story, on page 11. You'll find us taking apart and studying the fourth paragraph today on that page, and it begins with, had this power originated in him? And ends with, and this was none at all. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Linda B., the 12 traditions, Carla C., and Stephanie L., followed by support, which would be Robin P. and Sherry Z. Newcomer greeter and the fellow that's going to also get sponsor contact names and information, so you want to have pen and paper ready for that. At the end of the meeting will be Leah S. Listen for her, and Eileen M. will give announcements this morning. The share ID numbers for Thursday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting yesterday on June 22nd is the following: 19098, 19,098. And then the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting here this morning on Thursday the 23rd is 19100, 19,100. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Linda B. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for this opportunity to be of service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Linda B. from Canada. I will now ask Carla C. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Carla, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Carla C. Carla C. from California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Then once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And this is the star 1 key function only, please, for your muting purposes. And you can unmute just as soon as it's your turn to speak. It'll be good. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Bill's Story on page 11. You'll find us unpacking paragraph 4 today. Those three lines, it begins with, had this power originated in him, and ends with, and this was none at all. I'd like to ask Stephanie L. to please read those three lines for us and discuss what her experience is with recovery on those three lines, and then we'll open it up immediately to additional comments on that paragraph to the fellowship here. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L. here, compulsive overeater in Southern California. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute, and this was none at all. And, you know, this is that amazing moment that, you know, Bill sees his old friend, his old drinking buddy, you know, like we read yesterday in the paragraph above. You know, he saw that something was different with Ebby. You know, God had done something for him. Like Bill, Ebby's human will had failed. Doctors said he was incurable, right? I mean, all of these things. Bill's like, this guy was just like me. And wait a second, this power didn't come from him. You know, there had been no more power in him than there was in Bill at that moment. And this is so my experience in this disease and in this program. You know, how do you go? How did I go from a hopeless, suicidal, morbidly obese, woman obsessed with the food, not able to even get a day, not even able to put the food down for one day, not even able to put the food down for one meal. You know, how did I go from that to sitting here, a woman, you know, still riddled with lots of character defects and a lot of work that still has to be done. But, you know, like a year and 5 months out of relapse and free of the obsession to compulsively overeat. That didn't come from me, just like it didn't come from Bill. It didn't come from Ebby, and it doesn't come from the fellows I hear that share on this line every morning that give me a tremendous amount of hope. That power, this is not of my doing, you know. I have a higher power who I choose to call God. I have this God, you know, who gives me that power every day, you know, as long as I continue to do this work. And like, you know, I have to continue to build a relationship with this power and grow that relationship. But I am under, you know, no crazy delusion that, you know, somehow I have made this happen. You know, I showed up, someone showed up, and someone was my Ebby, and I saw the light in their eyes, and I saw the recovery in them, and they told me what to do, and I followed the directions in this book that brought me to power, and I get to live a life very differently today. And I didn't believe that was possible. And I can tell you, if I'm sitting here today sharing about this, it is possible. If it can happen for me, it can happen for anyone. So I can't wait to hear the other shares on this powerful, powerful paragraph. And with that, I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Stephanie L. from California. The lines are now open for comments on paragraph 4, page 11 in Bill's story. If you're interested in commenting your experience, love to take your first name, the first initial, your last name, and your state. Please, and although we value your experience, all of you, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too. We do have, are blessed with a large, large meeting here. So I'm set to take some names.
Penny L.C. from Washington.
Penny L.C.
Lisa N., Wisconsin.
W-A. Lisa N., W-I.
In Southern California.
S-C-A. Hi, Gail K. Anyone else this morning as we get started? Okay, let's go with that line up here so we can keep those minutes in the
Windy
share time.
B,
Penny L. C.
California.
Windy B. Okay, California.
No, B is in Victor. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. Penny L. C. Lisa. Is it Lisa Ann? I hope so. And Gail K.
Yes.
And Wendy V. is Victor. Okay, great. Perfect. Okay, Penny L.C., you're up for 3 minutes, followed by Lisa. Everyone else?
Thank you, Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Loud and clear.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
And good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I really appreciate how well Bill outlines Ebby's transformation, and this is the time that he's, you know, received some hope. And I'm, even for me reading these passages, I can receive the hope that if Ebby could, if Bill could, you know, I could too. And it's that promise that I hold every day, that there is a way, so long as I'm willing to realize that the power does not originate in me. When I am blessed with nothing short of miracles in my life, when I'm able to encounter what I call God incidences, you know, not coincidences, but I know where the whole event originated in the power greater than me. I'm able to be humbled and grateful to know that there is a power greater than me that is there to guide me, and that I can trust that power today and rely on that power. And and then able to take that forward and share that a miraculous change in me with others, and be able to give them the hope that they too can find and have for themselves that power that can change their life one day at a time, as it has for so many. And we are so blessed to have this solution. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny Elsie, from Washington State. Lisa N. from Wisconsin, you're next, followed by Gail.
Good morning, Mel. May I be heard?
You betcha, loud and clear. Just come in swinging. I'll grab you if you don't.
All right. Thanks for your service, Mel. Mm-hmm. And good morning, everybody. You know, I was thinking about power and what a hard concept it really is for us to, well, for me it was, when I came into the program, because I thought that I had been taught that I had the power to push myself away from the table. And there was something, you know, not right about me when I wasn't pushing myself away from the table, but that was under my power, I was taught. And it was under my power to put that fork down, and it was under my power to choose vegetables over garbage. And it was my power, and it was all my power. That's what I was taught. And then when I came into this program, thank God, I was taught that I had no power. But that was so hard to get rid of that ingrained idea that I did have power. And so every day, I think I have to remind myself that, yes, I know there's a power greater than me, but I keep taking back the power that I keep thinking I have the power to say, to do, to change people, places, things, whatever. And I have to be reminded with these meetings, with all of you and your shares and your wisdom, because everybody gets their own brand of wisdom, I get to hear that I don't have to be in control. I don't have that power. So I can ask for help and get it from a higher power. So, I'm just grateful to be here, and thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Lisa Ann from Wisconsin. Next up, Gail K. from Southern Cal. SoCal, is that what they call that? And then Wendy will follow you. Star one, Gail. That'll unmute you.
Hi, this is Gail K., a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. I'm at 109 days of abstinence, working with a recovered sponsor, and so grateful. The whole book speaks to me, but these two sentences about the power, for me, it's been very important to remember I'm not that far out of, you know, being face planted in the food. And I still remember, and I'm grateful I have fellows that remind me every day of where I'm coming from and where I'm headed to. But the power didn't come from a human source. It says the first step, we admitted we were powerless over food. And I had admitted that. I'd said the words, said the steps, but it was when I admitted to my innermost self, the deepest part inside of me, where it became clear to me in my heart, in my soul, in my bones, that I could not stop addictive, disordered eating on my own. It was in that moment that the power was there. It's when I got out of the way, when I held the cupcakes up and said, "Here, whatever the power is, take it." When I unclenched my hands around my food, alcoholic food god, there was another power right there, always waiting for me, and I was abstinent from that moment on. What I'm trying to get at is, I didn't have to know what the power was. I didn't have to understand it. I just needed to open up to whatever it is. And I remember that was my prayer. Whatever you are, whatever it is, please take this because I can't stop on my own. I had to get out of my own way. And I think that's just the main message I want to share. That's my experience, strength and hope, was when I admitted to my innermost self that I couldn't do it on my own, the power was right there for me and has brought me to where I am today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Gail Kay from Southern California. Just want to let folks know that we are on page 11 of Bill's story in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are unpacking paragraph 4 today, and it begins with, had this power originated in him, and ends with, and this was none at all. In 3 minutes after Wendy V. from California shares, I'm going to open up the lines for additional comments on that paragraph, so get yourself ready. In the meantime, let's listen to Wendy V. as in Victor from California. Star one, please.
Thank you so much for assisting our meeting. Wendy V. from California. I'm just so amazed at how God can enter into our lives, and not because we're doing anything good, not because I'm out, you know, handing out religious pamphlets or really adding anything to life, and how the power of God can enter into my life just based on absolute hopelessness. And I can just imagine Bill looking at Etby and just trying to figure out what happened to him. And what happened to him is simply God did for him what he absolutely, under no circumstances, through no human aid, could do for himself. And that's it. All God did was meet him as a hopeless drunk who could do nothing for himself. And when I see that I can't do anything in a situation and it's never, ever, ever going to improve and my only hope is death, then I guess I'm more open to the Spirit of God entering into my heart and doing for me what I can't do for myself. And it's so amazing that God meets us exactly where we are. This isn't earned. This isn't because we're good. There's nothing we have to do except for sit in our brokenness and acknowledge we can't do anything. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wendy V. is in Victor from California. The lines are now open to comment on paragraph 4, page 11 in the Big Book. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I'll take another lineup.
Annie B.
Reggie.
Annie
Roger.
B.
Reggie.
Reggie.
Reggie O.
And
Leia. Leia S.
And Leia S.
Mm-hmm. Bonnie.
Bonnie. Is that Bonnie who?
Roger B.
What's your last initial, please, man? I got you, Roger. You're before Leia S. and after Reggie.
Bonnie W.
Bonnie, what was your first initial? A W. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, let's go with that line up here and see where it takes us in terms of time. So I have Annie B., Reggie O., Roger V., Leia S., and Bonnie W. So first up is Annie B. for 3 minutes, and everybody else, please press star one physically on your phone, and then that will quiet the line.
Hi, thank you so much, mm-hmm. Annie B. from Portland, Oregon. I'm grateful to be here and grateful to talk about this. So when I got to step two and came to believe a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, I was a little bit, it's funny, because I knew I was powerless over food and that my life would become unmanageable, but I had this weird little power in me that just went to food. Like, she was kind of, like, tough. And it was funny because I had a God concept of a powerful God, but I didn't know, it's kind of embarrassing now, but I didn't know that my higher power was powerful, more powerful than that little afraid part of me that would run to food. And because she would run to food very eagerly and incessantly, and she seems to be, you know, a toddler running the show. And it was really a cool moment when I was like, oh, is my concept of my higher power not powerful, more powerful than, like, let's say a 5-year-old or a, you know, little tantrum food seeking. So it was a really cool moment when I could see that my concept of the power was not enough power, basically, because I needed it to be a power greater than myself. And my self power was so almost like held me hostage, you know what I mean? And so I hope people can relate with like the higher power's power being even higher than ourselves, which is, sounds silly to pronounce it like that. But it was just such a turning point for me when I watched my higher power do for me what I could not do for myself, you guys. Just could not do it. So it was really amazing to see the power level of my higher power grow. And I'm just super grateful for you all, for the fellowship, for the big book, for this paragraph even. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Annie B. from Oregon. Next up for 3 minutes is Reggie O. And then Roger, you'll follow Reggie.
Hi, good morning, Melanie. Thanks so much for your service and everybody who's on the line this morning. My name is Reggie O. Gratefully recovered in Texas today. And, you know, I've started this has been fascinating to me, which is wonderful, these paragraphs and last few pages about Bill discovering and working out a power greater than himself and God and all of that. And so I read ahead, and when I read this paragraph ahead, had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute. There was none at all. So it got me studying, because one of my favorite pieces in the big book is, you know, where and how were we to find that power? And it's in the second, going into the third step, and it says, we found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he or God can be found. It was so with us. And so this paragraph has power in a lowercase p. And I started looking around, and then I looked on page 45, lack of power, small p. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power, small p, by which we could live, and it had to be a power, capital P, greater than ourselves. Where and how were we to find this power, which is what this book is all about. You know, step two, how do I find a power greater than myself that will restore me to sanity and turn my life, and a power that I'm willing to turn my life and my will over to. So I'm just reminded, you know, that all of the commentary about God, higher power in the big book starts written with a capital letter at the beginning, you know, and this power is P. So this power that he's looking for is not the personal power. I mean, obviously, I never had that around food or many things, and Abby and Bill certainly didn't have it around alcohol. So they did have to find a power greater than themselves, which was a power with a capital P. And it is ever good for me to remember that that power is found deep within me. And the first time that with a capital P, the small p, forget that. That's useless to me in combating this addiction going into the program. But the program is about clearing away, you know, the 12 steps, clearing away all of the clutter that gets in the way of that power deep within that can do for me what I cannot do for myself. So, and, you know, and that is, you know, eventually have a psychic change and become, in some respects, a different person that's much happier and living in a very different dimension. So thanks for letting me share. And that's it for now.
Thank you so much, Reggio. And I didn't say the last time around that we do ask that everybody share every third day, please, so that it gives a chance for everybody else to have a chance to share as well. We do have near 200 people on this line, and usually only about 14 opportunities to share because of the time. So if you've shared within the last 3 days, we just ask that you maybe open up that opportunity for somebody else. But in the meantime, we are going to be offering the platform for Roger V to share for 3 minutes, followed by Leah S.
I'm Roger V in downtown Los Angeles. Good morning, OA fam. Anytime there's an opportunity to talk about God, I love talking about God. So I don't know if I'll make any sense, because I had one of those nights where I had a lot of insomnia. But here we go. You know, I love this little paragraph, had the power originated him. I don't know about you guys, but when I came into program, I thought I was a big shot. And I learned in program I was a big shit. You know, I thought I was powerful. And as the book talks about, in other areas, I seemed to be powerful and I could do things. When it came to food, when it came to drugs and alcohol, I had no power. And I love the Sinatra song, I Did It My Way, I Wound Up in OA. You know, I really thought I had power. And it, when it comes to food, I have no power, zero. And, you know, there was times I could control my food. There was times I could enjoy my food. I just couldn't control and enjoy my food. And, you know, I love the context of this whole thing. We for me, it's my opinion, we all have an Ebby of sorts. I know I did. And when you see that sparkle in someone else's eyes and you want what they have, how did you get this? A power greater than yourself came into your life? You know, I had a God before that was, I only bargained with that God. You know, if you get me a parking space, if you get me the girl, if you get me the job, fill in your own du jour. I'll do X, Y, and Z. You know, and today I don't bargain with God. You know, I give God, no pun intended, the whole enchilada.
New York Times bestseller.
God is either everything or nothing. What was our choice to be? And for me today, God is everything. I've been getting a lot of God shots lately, pretty much on a weekly basis, because once we've worked all 12 steps, we have a spiritual awakening. And, you know, I just know that I'm powerless and God is powerful. So let God be big so Roger can be small. And I know today God's delay is not his denial. And I try not to bargain with God today. I try to listen. And when God says something, I try to do what he says. And God today speaks audibly to me today. Do this. Don't do this. Listen to me. You're going to do this. I don't know. I love this book. I love the program. I love the 12 steps. Today, you guys are paying a 12-step call on me. And with that, I'm out. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger V. from California. Leah S., you're up next for 3 minutes.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. My name is Leah S., recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. My goodness, what a powerful meeting. I'm also going to refer to page 45. You know, the big book talks about everything. They're all interrelated, all of them. Step one makes you understand who I am, a compulsive overeater. Step two leaves me into that giving up. And then I feel as I'm giving up, I'm falling into a deep hole. Where am I going to land? And I'm so petrified. How can I give up all these wants and needs that have always been soothing to me and my body? And then it leads me right into step three. I'm not falling into that deep hole. I'm falling into a power that is so super and so great that nothing humanly possible can take that place. You know, it's so interesting the way it is. So how do I know what is right and what is wrong? How do I know that God is directing all this to me? Because there's the want and the need of good inside of me. And that alone, you know, it's just like you can walk out in the street and then see this old lady and you can walk by, or you can just walk by with this, seeing this old lady and putting a smile on your face. You're not doing anything. There's that power within you that is smiling to that lady. Go on, go on. You know, that's what it is. It's even with our, believe it or not, with the people that we have been fighting all about, that, you know, that silent power that overtakes us and leads us. And if we want right, and if we will try to do right, we eventually will end up right. And there is my time. I thank you, and I pass.
Oops,
You had 40 more seconds, Alea. Did I say
You're
something
right.
that interfered? Okay, thanks. Thanks, Leah. Leah from New York. Leah. Next up is Bonnie W., and then we're probably going to have time for at least two more folks to share on paragraph 4, page 11, and Bill's story. But for right now, let's listen to Bonnie W. from New York.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, everybody. You know, what a wonderful thing to think about this glow on Ebby. And I think about how many times, so I'm fairly new in program, how many times I found myself headed toward that pantry, almost like there's this urge that it's like, help me as I keep walking by. And like the man who says, I don't know why I put whiskey in my milk. It makes no sense to me. And what came to my mind is that for me, it's this daily, it's for me, it's not a strike of lightning. Oh, there's this great higher power that's going to save me. That's going to magically remind me that the higher power is there and lift that, that there are some things that I need to do too, because I'm such a slow learner that each day I must renew that relationship with my higher power. I must like integrate and welcome that higher power and that God into my life, so that one, as I think about walking toward that pantry, that higher power just says, no, I'm here and I'm going to help you. And not only that, at that point, the higher power has removed all those thoughts. There's no need for me to think about that. And I always thought, it's like, what do I need to do, God? What do I need to do, God, to get over this obsession? And again, that was that grabbing on desperately with the hands, like I needed to somehow control it. And I think what God was saying is, you need to loosen that grip and develop a relationship with me every single day. So that's what I'm thinking. I was just thinking how very critical it is for me to welcome that God into my life every single day, and to allow God's light to just guide me through, just as Ebby was guided. So I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Bonnie W. from Nevada. The lines are open again for at least three additional comments, shares on paragraph 4. Not share the last
Jenny P.
date, please. Hi, Jenny. Jenny P. Anyone else? Got lots of room. Paragraph 4, page 11. Flip open your book.
Lisa J.R.? Lisa J.R.?
I think we lost Melanie. This is Leslie. I'm going to step in. Go ahead, Virginia.
It's Jenny P. from California.
Jenny P. Go ahead, Jenny.
Thank you. Hey, good morning, everyone. And we've had some great shares. Thanks to everyone who makes this meeting possible. I rarely share, but oh, there goes my alarm. I hope you guys can't hear that. But I felt moved to do so this morning. This line about this power does not originate in ourselves or myself, I really believe that. And I always interpreted this differently, like there was no higher power within. What I think it means is it doesn't originate within myself, but when I concede to my innermost self that I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable, then I get access to that power. And another thing that I wanted to share about that is, even now, we're talking about this juncture between step one and step two. There was something that I heard is our mother 12-step group, AA, that I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I use that a lot, in that sometimes I just need to show up and listen. I will say, coming to these vision meetings in the last year and a half, you know, I came, and then slowly I started to come to. And even though I have many years of food neutrality, I was not working the 12 steps as written in the big book. I came to, and I came to believe, and as I'm doing that now, I'm seeing some miraculous changes in my program and in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I guess that would be Jenny P. from California. Lisa J.R. up for three.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. from outside Baltimore, Maryland. Gratefully recovered by God's grace today. And, you know, I grew up in a family of origin that you had to, you know, kick butt and take names. You know, you had to generate your own success, your own health, vitality, everything. You know, you were responsible for your own destiny, so to speak, even though, believe it or not, it was a household where, you know, God was revered. But I grew up expecting that God expected me to do what I could and leave the rest to Him, which is quite the opposite, I've learned. So now I really do understand. This disease has taught me thoroughly that His power is made perfect in my weakness. If I were able to do it, I could take the credit for it. If I were able to get sober, I could take the credit. But purely, I obviously for decades could not, you know, get any headway against this disease. So here God goes. He steps in when I'm finally at the end of myself and says, okay, let me take over. So on a day-by-day basis, this program has helped me to understand that if I have vertical direction and seek constantly vertical direction, that I can go out horizontally and be of use to Him in His kingdom and be dead in self, so to speak, so that, you know, goodness can abound for me. Because in my selfishness, there really isn't much good in me. So I'm just so grateful that, you know, this program taught me my spiritual principles that are really in alignment with my higher power. So and the higher power of my childhood. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa J.R. Appreciate that. Hey, it looks like we have time for one more share. Who would like to take that 3 minutes? Star one, please.
I would, Larry G.
Okay, we'll give it to you, Larry. Thanks. 3 minutes for
give
you.
Give it to me. Oh, God, I'm sitting, listening this morning and just in awe. My name is Larry G, and I'm from Northern California. I was thinking about the new person on this call, what they might be thinking. We sound like a bunch of religious zealots, man. People are just on fire this morning. And what you're hearing, what I'm hearing, is not religious zealots, but people who have been rescued from the cow manure heap of crap they've been in and have been restored to sanity. They feel useful. They have hope. They have meaning in their life. And I have been relieved of the bondage of food. Now, I can prove to you that I have an addiction. I can prove to you because, you know, here this has been offered on a silver platter to me. Larry, you're going to feel useful. You're going to feel fulfilled in life. Your relationships are going to be restored. You're going to be better at your business than ever. You're going to move around with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. And you're going to have an abundance of prosperity in life. And while being neutral, and the obsession will be removed around food. And what I'll say, you know, that sounds pretty good, God. You know, that sounds pretty good, but you take care of my money. You take care of my relationships. You take care of my business. When it comes to food, I got it. Now, that to me is a form of insanity and proof that I have an addiction. Anyway, love this program. Today I got to work with a new person. I'm just inspired by this person's willingness. It inspires me to pursue my recovery and find comfort in God today, not food. And if I sound like a religious zealot, excuse me, I'm sorry, I apologize for that. I make amends, heartful amends. I'm not a religious zealot. I just love abstinence. There's nothing that tastes better than abstinence. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much. Larry, looks like we have, oh my goodness, we have about two and a half more minutes. Does anyone else like to share on paragraph 4 that hasn't shared in the last 3 days? Press star 1.
Hi, my name is
Alex.
Carlo.
Carlo, is that what I'm hearing?
That was me, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. It's yours. About 2 minutes, looks like. Yeah.
All right. I may not even need that long, but I didn't actually catch the text, but it sounds like it was talking about Abby Thatcher, and so all I know is that that's a great part of our book when Bill gets to see this guy Abby, who used to be a complete drunk, and see that brightness in his face, and yeah, really the main thought that came to mind is just the natural progression of life is usually to see people and they get a little bit older and they look a little more tired and haggard. So, I mean, it's just kind of cool that we have this thing that if we surrender to, it can fill us up with life and just make us vessels just to spread more goodness and be less selfish. So, just overall general gratitude for that, and seeing my sponsees, you know, light up from wanting to commit suicide, and next thing you know, being involved in these fulfilling, healthy, rewarding lives, and they're sharing their excitement about all these things that are happening through them or for them or, you know, whatever. So just grateful for this program, and yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Thanks so much. That takes us out to the end of the sharing portion of our meeting, and that will start us then in the pathway to close out the recorded portion as we then move forward into the last 10 minutes of the meeting, which is very important for us all here to get newcomer names and get some announcement information and sponsor contact. So I'd like to ask Robin P. to please read from page 164, a book is meant to be suggestive only, to close us out as we normally do, and then we'll move on to saying the Serenity Prayer together, and we'll continue. Thanks. Hey, Robin.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks, Melanie. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.